Chapter 20. Antimatter.
Antimatter? The professor asked.
You could give it that name for an approximation, but it is not exactly antimatter, Lia said, because to exist as such antimatter would have to possess a force equal to the matter but in a negative manner of form which would have neither positive pole nor negative pole. Only one culminating point of absorption of whatever of that which the major chemical components possess and thus determines its force. But that which you call antimatter must be that which absorbs the matter. Isn't that it? According to some theories of your world, you could think that, taking into account that in space all is surprising, the matter would cease to absorb the antimatter precisely with the intelligence that there exists more bodies. But that is not the case. The non-existence of parity in space is matched in the universe. The nothing, as I told you, is greater than the all as you know. Now then, that is another concept that still is not known on Earth.
Confused, I asked, how does one explain this?
In a simple manner. In space not only is there the all and the nothing, the matter and the antimatter, but the field of energy that between those two concepts. In your path, matter can transform all kinds of life, including destroy it. Antimatter would succeed in imposing itself even against all the living elements, but this neutral energy always overcomes, to impose itself even against the antimatter elements. In space all seems to move in the same vibratory rhythm, though the enormous pulsars vibrate in a different manner than the satellites, all having their own movement. Because of this, when the band of photons came dangerously close to our system, millenniums ago, our ancestors did not know how to avoid its noxious effects, and some worlds surrounded by it perished and with them the capacity for life. Inhabited worlds were completely desolated after the passage of the photons. That energy eliminated all vestiges of life. For that reason, some civilizations were rescued and re-implanted on other inhabitable worlds. But before this, for the lack of knowledge, our ancestors asked many times, what had happened? It was as if suddenly a planet with inhabitants was converted into an absolutely hybrid planet. The band of photons is one of the greatest threats that exists in the universe, though this is not as dangerous as other clouds in other galaxies. This only absorbs energy from living cells.
Does that seem little? I asked in surprise.
It is that there exist other classes of androgens. Some completely absorb the systems, with stars and planets, though it is a characteristic process, because later it vomits them and they come to take their original form though the orbit can change. But other planetary bodies dissolve in the collision with that which you call antimatter. Other types of energy feed on the gases which they encounter sporadically in space, and others of light, though their nature may be cold and dark.
But what are they? I asked without understanding.
They are androgens, whose transparency is such that they seem inoffensive. It is an invisible force like with energy. You can feel it but you cannot see it. That characteristic is essential to that force. And unfortunately, many systems, including your solar, are headed toward a band of photons. Of course it will take many years to get there, perhaps decades of years, but now is a good time to prepare yourselves so that your sciences advance to benefit and not prejudice you, to construct a protection for the beings who inhabit the Earth. The Earth is a colony rich in genes of diverse forms. The multitude of races shows that it is an exceptional colony for re-implantation. There still are civilizations more or less pure. The threat does not only hang over your planet, but all your solar system is exposed. I have told you before that in space it seems like the bodies move in harmony, but it is not exactly thus. Some move slowly and others complete their orbits more rapidly. Above all, those bodies whose mineral characteristics make them slighter, not in weight but in conductivity, react differently with each other. It is as if the travel of a planet is facilitated more when it has more of this so-called electrical energy. That is an example only to illustrate what I am trying to say. Well then, some travel several times their own system or galaxy. Your planet, in doing this, has already entered the influence of those photons on many occasions. It has not penetrated them directly, but the influence was felt from millions of your kilometers of distance away. Nevertheless, around your year 2024 or 25 you will feel this influence ever more strongly. But your scientists will think that it is a new kind of energy coming from space. The photon threatens from the gigantic depths of the universe. This and the magnetic band that surrounds your planet presents the greater danger for the future of your humanity. In earlier times, at least 14,000 years ago, your planet passed through the girdle of photons. The disasters did not leave much hope, though many of the reptiles did not suffer as greatly as before, because the influence was light. And even so, the elements were released, the Earth lost its orbital coordination. But then the Earth did not have the great number of human beings that it has now.
What was it that happened?
Well, I must tell you that many things occurred. You still had not entered the photonic band, and already the oceans were agitated by great turbulences and the terrestrial plates were moving. The animals suffer gigantically from molecular stimulation, and this was scarcely the beginning. The scientists from other worlds knew the approximate nature of this phenomenon, and their technology brought them to construct great subterranean caverns and structures which at a determined time would be able to repel this type of aggressive energy. One advanced civilization had come in anticipation of the problem, and they constructed an enormous cupola on the bottom of the ocean. As you know, hydrogen and oxygen repel all kinds of radioactivity, and they knew this. But the cupola did not have sufficient capacity for all the inhabitants, even though there were not too many then. They made the selection and took down those who now, notwithstanding the conditions, were in agreement and believed as well that at least 10 years in the depths of the sea would be needed to survive and continue without suffering the damage possible as a result of the influence of the androgens. The least tiny error could provoke unforeseen damages. Incredibly many people remained on the surface facing the dangers. Others were able to descend, and many more entered the deepest of the great caves that had been excavated in the earth. Many disappeared completely. The scientists of my planet, my father among them, were desperate because they saw the earth so threatened and did not know how to explain the threat to the terrestrials involved. The scientists of my planet came to the earth to help. Some descended to examine the cupola. They examined and selected some animals. Due to the fact that the cupola could suffer from overpopulation, the majority of the mammals were subjected to a prolonged glandular alteration. This treatment of the glands is completely inoffensive with our procedures because they can be re-stimulated when proliferation of the species is desired. If the scientists of your world knew this, they would not utilize so many chemical compounds to avoid uncontrolled conception.
Why didn't they construct the cupola on the surface?
If the photon band should contain particles that consume oxygen, your humanity would not have much advantage in lacking this vital element, could be extinguished as a humanity. This would not be the case in the depths of the sea because oxygen could be extracted from the waters.
Professor Hernandez began to feel despondent over all these previously unknown to him threats and the precariousness of human life on Earth. He worried a good deal about the fate of Earth's humanity and wondered how other planets successfully survived such things in their natural evolution. It was about this time also that Lya told him of even worse menaces, threats to his very survival, created by terrestrial man himself. Such as we are doing in a number of ways today with our atomic, chemical and biological weapons of such efficiency that they can wipe out all living things on this planet at the pleasure of the aberrant humanity that lives here. Lya told him of a terrible weapon created here on Earth in the past by men living here that still could wipe out all living things and even the Earth itself. An antimatter weapon is described in notes from Professor Hernandez's diary for November 1979. Many civilizations have come to our planet in different epochs in search of more powerful weapons. Lai explained to me that beings from planets of higher knowledge intend to save them by taking them out of reach of terrestrial man, who day by day becomes more belligerent and aggressive. This information was given to me today, though I assured her, Lai, that it would be dangerous to give it publicity. Why tell it? The nations will annihilate each other for the possession of such a weapon. But before entering into personal reflections, I will tell you now it was that Lia brought, to my knowledge, what I have called, the diabolic weapon. Today I am speaking of a most powerful weapon whose longevity has extended back over the centuries. An ominous aggressive force has been guarding in the marine depths this weapon. Since our world has been studied for a long time by beings of other planets, with the intent to evade knowledgeable examination of their confirmation. It was here that she told me, according to my memory.
6 million years before your own time, the continents were found to form only one territory and the nations were relatively close to one another. But then one night the sea swallowed an entire city which you call Atlantis. The race who lived in the center of this great continent were drowned when the land split in two. They had come to be highly knowledgeable, but their ambitions knew ever more and more brought them to total ruin. There, in that large city, the great Atlantean scientist struggled to reach martial supremacy. They wanted to control the galaxy, without having the mental capacity to achieve it. The intended result was to obtain absolute dominion over your world and of the whole system. Those, the Atlanteans, had come from the third planet of this solar system, which then was Maldek, today known as the asteroids. This third planet was a refuge for beings coming from Sion, whose powerful sciences had made them invincible. Nevertheless, those scientists were divided by factions among themselves, and some, also scientists, emigrated to Earth. The Earth then occupied the fourth place in this solar system. As colonists of the Earth, they became undesirable and intolerable to the inhabitants who had been established before, to perversity and the domination they exercised through their sophisticated arms and weapons with which they subjugated the smaller nations. The Earth came to be an enormous receptor of beings coming from other worlds, of which the diversity of creeds and customs as well as the genetic differences was great. The recently populated planet attracted many civilizations due to the richness in minerals it contained. At that time there was only one continent. Your planet was something like a great greenhouse observed with great suspicion from the enormous planet Maldek. Once on the Earth, those immigrant scientists explored the origin of man utilizing animals in danger of extinction, causing terrible and monstrous mutations between human and animal genes. They captured animals of other worlds for experimentation in fields not only of genetics, but of clones, And the monsters they produced in the laboratory were released more than once in circuses of diversion, confronting them with slaves and prisoners. Their experiments encompassed great fields of study, even coming to include tests of human resistance to poisonous gases, which provoked genetic imitations in the descendants of those humans, causing thus themselves uncontrollable epidemics which isolated entire nations. The Maldekians became very worried. But the terrestrials were not interested in applying restrictions imposed in accordance with cosmic agreements, and they rebelled against the laws of Maldek, where the respect for life was the first mandate to be considered. There were great astronomers, who, knowing the exact movement of each one of the bodies in your solar system, upon perfecting the antimatter weapon, discovered a way to modify the orbits of each one of them. The stars radiate energy in sufficient quantity to power ships at a great distance. Nevertheless, despite what they had achieved, the terrestrial Atlanteans were not satisfied with their accomplishments and wanted to reach greater power on the planet Earth than that which had been achieved by the scientists of Maldek. They had at their disposition many forms of acquiring dominion over science, but they did not know enough about something that disturbed them, antimatter. Remember, Professor, that antimatter surrounds matter, that there is more empty space in the galaxies than planets which it surrounds. After which then the nothing is much greater than that which itself exists. Moreover, the dead are attracted enormously by it. It is frequently asked in the same way that you ask today, where do the dead go? Over the years of profound study and experimentation on anxiously trying to control the power of the magnetic vortex that produces life, they succeeded in discovering the anti-magnetic origin of the same existence. They suspected that a powerful energy produced life, but they ignored the significance that it was that which sustained the nothing in the galaxy. They wanted to dominate the psyche in the human being, and the biological energy that moves man, as well as the dynamics that sustain the movement of the planets, the suns, and the stars. They were ambitious to obtain the immense power to dominate and subject the universe itself. Then it was when they came to perfect a weapon authorized only to the great civilizations, a weapon that converted living bodies into antimatter space. This weapon annihilated all, and absolutely all of a living being. You know that matter dies, but the energetic essence, bioenergetic psyche, survives. It is a powerful mental energy that retains a great quantity of vitality and whose memory persists through the centuries. This is the energy that moves you and me and all others. The planets which possess life, possess memory. Well, those lesser Atlanteans, the terrestrians so to speak, of the time, upon creating this powerful weapon, were able with it to annihilate also the energy that moves us, the same that you call spirit. But let us return to Maldek. Intergalactic law prohibited weapons such as this to civilizations or scientists such as those that demonstrated imprudence and insensible rebellion. The law of mutual respect was lost among the diversity of races and creeds that began to multiply on your world. Since the Earth, and your solar system, is on the edge of this galaxy, the terrestrials knew they were isolated from the greater civilizations that exist in the center of the galaxy, and for such knew that they were secure from any inspection on the part of those civilizations, at least for a certain time. That weapon possessed an anti-nuclear reactor and anti-energy and was as well a molecular disintegrator, magnetic destabilizer, force neutralizer and receptor of energy of any class. With it they could control life and movement. The new weapon was called an antimatter device and it gave them a power never possessed before. The difference between the antimatter weapon and the conventional arms of that time was abysmal. The common arms then possessed could exterminate matter but not the organic energy. But the new and sensational discovery, as it seemed to them, permitted them to destroy the psychic and spiritual energy of the human being. This weapon could exterminate both entities, the material and the spiritual.
Pardon, Lia. I do not understand what you say with both entities. I asked.
Ah, you give the names spirit and matter to those psychic and organic components of the human being. They both are in titles. What you call spirit is indestructible by conventional death. Its energy continues even after death. But this weapon absolutely exterminated all of the vibrational or psychic being, whether it was in motion or not. And once it was activated toward an objective, it would destroy it, searching but the sound, being guided by the respiration of people in the area or by the expiration of the vegetation. It leveled entire cities and forests, being the only absorber of all its energy and could disintegrate them. This weapon alarmed the rest of the Maldekians who sought, without result, for ways to resist it. Its powerful force exterminated all living cells, no matter how small they were. It could change or modify the course of any planet no matter how big it seemed, and could provoke catastrophes in solar systems such as yours, causing collisions of the orbiting worlds by creating an anti-magnetic vortex current. The creation of this monstrous weapon worried the Maldekians so much that they felt responsible for whatever might happen on the Earth. They were decided by such to come to your planet to finally try to dissuade those to abandon the project and return to the times of peace. But it was already too late. The terrestrials having advanced too much, knowing that this gave them ample power among great interplanetary scientists. The Maldikians repeatedly confronted by the resistance of the terrestrials decided by themselves to deactivate this weapon, though they knew that they risked the stability of your world. Despite all, their intentions were in vain. The terrestrials decided to shield this weapon beneath an enormous pyramid which they guarded day and night. Upon seeing this, the Maldikians declared war, which lasted almost 1 year. It was a belligerent confrontation as difficult as powerful between identical force structures. Nevertheless, the terrestrials had decided to use the weapon when the time came. Once more, in the midst of that conflict, the scientists of Maldek returned to negotiations to convince the Atlanteans to desist in their decision, but the latter responded with more frequent bellicose aggressions. They would not abandon that symbol of their new power. The terrestrials were not prudent nor characterized by respect for cosmic law, always having violated those of their own civilization. Upon refusing to deliver or to deactivate this weapon which nullified cellular life and threatened technology, all bio-organic energy, and the peace of the solar system, they reinforced anew the fraternal struggle. In the fury of battle, the terrestrials lost terrain. Greater civilizations of other solar systems came to aid the Maldikians. It was then when the terrestrials decided to activate that powerful weapon focused to make the planet Maldek lose its magnetic field to the end that it would provoke collisions with its nearer planets, the nearest being Mars. Upon losing its orbit, the planet Maldek lost enormous amounts of energy. The scientists discovered that such had been lost and one night decided to destroy the powerful force that encouraged the aggressiveness and the power of the terrestrials. A powerful ray projected from the Maldikian laboratories fell upon that great city, Atlantis, dividing the continent in two. And it was this that opened that great portion of the earth, and that fatal night the entire city was drawn completely beneath the ocean. Other lesser cities had been alerted that a great inundation was about to flood inhabited land, and some of those constructed, with the help of the scientists of Maldek, enormous embarkations in which they rescued those who desired to flee such danger. Upon dividing into the enormous continent broke up and killed also many innocents, sinking slowly into the sea that had surprised the great city, and displacing the divided territories one toward the east and the other toward the west, losing the magnetic pole of the earth. From the extraterrestrial ships could do this, but the evacuation of energy would be fatal to many of you. Only a very advanced civilization could do it. Otherwise, the magnetic field of your world suffers notable modifications.
These other civilizations of which you speak, do you know their location?
Effectively, Professor. The Anshinergy emission is detectable by our sensors. Many cosmic civilizations know its location. You will know also, because very soon the scientists of your world will try to get to where it is, but few or almost none know really what it is and what it represents, much less detecting its origin. Many ships which pass through this anti-magnetic field, launched toward space, suffer alterations in their navigation program, for which accidents sometimes happen. Such ships with their energy force stimulate the anti-magnetic power by their passage.
Lia, is it really possible that the American scientists have already detected this?
Of course. I already said before that some scientists are worried by what occurs in that zone, but listen carefully, Professor, your destiny is being slowly changed. I did not say that you were elected, but if you are fortunate enough to know this, you should not release this information due to what happens to a world without cosmic supremacy. We believe that your world should know what exists there, and we also believe that your society must become more peaceful before having the exact knowledge of this weapon, to be able to accept the idea of living in peace and never use it against any civilization, but already there is not enough time. Beings of other minor races, rebellious, imprudent, and ambitious, would take it at any price. They know that if they leave it there, someday it could be used against them or against others. Today the terrestrial generations are moving toward more belligerent confrontations. On our world, as on many others, the children are trained to the consciousness of the living being and intelligent as such because they know that someday they will inherit the planet, then later they try to develop optimum courses of quality and higher intelligence. But the children of your planet live in violence day after day. All of your marvelous apparatus of communication show them wars between one and another country without them knowing exactly why they fight. The continuity of these events predispose them to aggressiveness. The parents exercise no control over this because they don't know how to do it. The best and the worst of these assurances are being given from the bosom of the home. And those are the generations that will someday guide the destiny of your planet. The level or superhuman consciousness is unknown. The respect for life is discarded. Love is conditionally controlled. Without knowing that this is the sentiment that must improve as the beginning of respect for people, human values do not as such, and even continue showing the child a world without love, full of violence, of hate, of rancor, of ambition and of ignorance. Your world is one of those produced by diverse ideologies tarnishing this beautiful blue planet. Discordances of pride and power strive to show that peace is only obtained by war, subtle as well as perverse circumstances in a decadent world. You still have a place in the galaxy. The civilizations that survive acquire a place by right. If a society or civilization does not survive as such, it has no right to possess this weapon nor any other. Because it has demonstrated arbitrarily in the control of others, it will have no right to knowledge of this. Too many wars, Professor, have filled the fields of battle with blood. For what then would you possess such a weapon as this? It would only serve you for the destruction of one another. The first universal law is knowledge. After this one obtains possession. If you prefer to guard this that I have told you in secret, then do it. I am not obliging you to tell it, but it is important that your world know that they must reevaluate their own attitude toward their own planet. Your sciences, Professor, have destroyed vast lands in honor of nuclear experiment. You are destroying your own habitat. It is giving birth to a new generation of aggressive irrationals. But you yourselves are the only ones capable of changing this.
No, Lia, I will not give this knowledge to the world. If sometime someone should die because of my trying to withdraw this threat to humanity, I would feel that to live would be sterile. The world, my world, is not prepared for this power.
Toward the end of 1987, Professor, you will encounter really alarming signs that beings of other worlds intend to come to your planet from different spatial coordinates. That weapon, as bait, attracts extraterrestrials of diverse races and of distinct level, which still has not encountered the method of developing one similar. If someone decided to try to recover it, you would be exposed to its immense disintegrational field or could go mad if this field is weakening. Many animals in migration avoid by instinct passing where this weapon is found, though I can tell you that in one night entire flocks were literally swallowed up by the Anshinergy without your being told. Life in a pace is uncertain for the Anshinergy that surrounds it. The worlds of superior intelligence survive. Hundreds of clouds of antimatter swarm to the length of entire galaxies, absorbing celestial bodies in their passage. This I have already explained to you before, that civilization which does not know these dangers succumbs before them. For that, the knowledge of the great intergalactic scientists is important, since only they know the great mysteries enclosed in the universe. My father is a great scientist. We know through him the most secure lines of intercosmic navigation. Well, this force is concentrated in a small receptacle fixed in some place between those islands that I mentioned. There will come a time when you will work on molecular and antimolecular disintegration without utilizing the atomic level. It will not be easy, but neither impossible, since you possess the genetic level for the investigation to develop it. You want the power of a planet without having discovered still the secret of longevity to enjoy the gains that you actually have, For so small is the ambition and much less the time that you live to see the fruits of the science you contribute to, but continues to advance. Even if those who control all these forces are children today, those to whom you have brought aggression and violence. The time that it would take to deactivate this weapon by the scientists of the most advanced countries of your world would be unpredictable, as would also be the effects that it could cause. But someone or a group could begin to undertake the idea of the deactivation, always with peaceful intent, on the contrary of which your world would be converted into an arid planet, like many others in the universe, if for some reason they moved with imprudence. Also, I must tell you that some scientists of your world are experimenting with weapons of such sophistication that it will not take long before they come to understand the nature of the antimatter which the ocean guards. I say to you, Professor, you who has studied high levels of nuclear energy for your world, and what in our levels still is found in primary phase, understand that it represents a grave threat to your world, but also for ulterior civilizations.
Lia, don't you think that it would have been preferable that you not admit me to this?
I would not be loyal with you, Professor, if I shut up without advising you of problems that confront your civilization. This is the most terrible legacy that you have received from the past, which nevertheless you do not know. Another legacy that you have received is genetic modification through which you have such a short lifetimes. Your duty, Professor, is to plant the seed of knowledge. If you do this, perhaps, it will bear fruit? Perhaps no. That depends on the terrain in which you plant sow it. The peace of the planet must take priority, until the men of Earth succeed in evolving to a scientific level, respectful of the forms of life that surround them. I have shown you the tendency to decadence. Each time, during one determined cycle, on your world, you reach a level of knowledge or cosmic level in your moral formation within the decadence.
Lia, could you show me the exact place where this weapon can be found?
I will take you there, Professor. And we both will observe that great pyramid from the bed of the ocean. You will probably be surprised by its inoffensive appearance, but within that same is found the weapon that is capable of exterminating your whole world. You will observe also the ruins that it has made in its descent. The ocean jealously guards its secret, and the water in some manner attenuates its effects, though not all, and for that it remains being highly dangerous to approach. The magnetic field of our ship repels all anti-energy force. Remember, Professor, when your auto would not start. Our negativizer of energy is powerful, but for us this weapon is important. You will go with me, Professor, I promise you. This is the maximum proof offered by an inhabitant of Inkstria to a man of Earth. Many will not believe you. That incredulous attitude of the people of your world permits us to descend to your planet with total security, though we only make ourselves visible before those who desire to see us. And I said to you, Professor, that nobody is going to believe you, but a few scientists will see answers to their questions in the lines that you write. They will believe. Professor, though not all.
Since that day I have reflected much on what Lia said. I worry that her words will continue coming true as has happened before, and if that is it, will other races come to continue visiting our planet with the intent to carry away this weapon? Then why orbit tracking satellites and install enormous radars if we continue being a civilization of minor knowledge to them? My intention is to never publish this information. However, I have consigned it to my diary so as to not forget all that this extraterrestrial woman taught me.